We head to 24B. This is Faribault and Area South. And our Democrat of the day today, Yvette Martheler, she is joining us as she is running to represent 24B in St. Paul. Yvette, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Hello, Mr. McNeil. Thanks for calling me.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for running as a DFLer. I got to ask you something about your district, though, if I can. It sure does look a little gerrymandered, because it's got Faribault in the north, and then it goes obnoxiously out of its way to get Owatonna out of your district, and then it has a bunch of areas south of Owatonna in your district. It is a bit of a unique one. Most of the they're usually not that contorted. Can I say it like that?
Well, it is a big district. I have the cities of Morristown, Faribault, Medford, Ellendale, and Claremont. And then I have, there's 19 townships in our district, 19 beautiful townships in our district. So it is pretty large, and we have lots of needs and interests. So I've been really working hard to learn about all those needs and interests in our district. But you're right, it is a big district. We've got a lot of different economies, agriculture, manufacturing, lots of innovative land stewardship programs. We have great facilities here in Faribault. We have the academies for the deaf and blind on Shattuck, and we also have the prison, one of the largest prisons in the state here in Faribault. So we've got a lot of diversity in our district, I will say that for sure.
You also, I will say, down you have about one of the best A&Ws left in the country.
Yes, it is. It's one of the old authentic style A&Ws. So I will also vouch for that. I don't know if you're aware, Mr. McNeil, but we were last Thursday. We had the tornadoes.
Yes.
Went through our district, and so we have had a lot of damage and loss in our district, specifically, especially in Morristown and around Faribault and the townships. So I just want to, you know, take time to say what a great job the county, city, law enforcement, emergency response teams, all the work that they have put in, and they're just organized and safe and intense response is pretty amazing. And then to watch the community step up and people help each other, it's just been a really tough week, but also just really inspiring.
Has the water levels gone down? I mean, there was a tremendous amount of rain that came out of the sky.
Yeah, we have not had the issue with the flooding here in this last week. It's really just been about a lot of damage from trees and debris and whole structures being torn apart by tornadoes. So, and the airport in Faribault is pretty devastated. Yeah. So we're dealing with the cleanup, obviously, and rebuilding, and people trying to still really clean up and figure out what the damage was.
Well, maybe we need to get a special session in place to get the funding down there. I mean, that's part of the state. You know, the government's job is that, you know, exactly what this happens. Yes, we're not really in the legislative cycle, but when a disaster like this happens, you need to have people like yourself, who obviously are extremely concerned about your district, getting up to St. Paul and getting the additional funding, if needed, down into that district.
We do. We need action. You're right. And I feel that's one of the, I do have that quality. I'm a hard worker. I don't know if you're familiar with my background, but
no,
I've been a social worker, a public servant in Rice County for over 25 years, and worked in children's mental health, chemical health, I've worked in crisis care. Right now I'm working with treatment court, and it's a lot of it is about looking at systems, working collaboratively, and trying to find solutions for people. And knowing that those solutions and the investments we make help our community overall, and again, I saw that with the investment we've made in, you know, our law enforcement, and we need more of that so people can respond, so our law enforcement can continue their great work. So it is about investment, I think, as well, and looking at systems and how they work together and advocating for that.
What prompted you to say, you know what, I'm running this time. I'm going to try to become the representative from 24B.
Well, as I mentioned, I have been a public servant. I've been a social worker in many different capacities in Rice County for over 25 years. People wonder or ask me if I ever lose hope in the people I work with, and I don't. I'm very grateful to be able to work with people, but what I have lost hope with and what I've become discouraged with is the cuts year after year in programs that actually support people in the community, that make the community healthier, that save the community money in the long term. These programs have been gradually cut over the years, and it's detrimental to the people that are trying to make a change in their life. They're trying to improve their health. They're trying to get back to work. And it's detrimental to our community as a whole. And we find that we're just sort of always in this crisis lurch or crisis mode in that area. And I really think that's not a good service to people or taxpayers. So I was feeling pretty frustrated about that when the election was coming up. I'm also a school board member. Similarly, for 6 years, I've been on the school board. And our board has been very good about maintaining a fund balance, but that means we have to be very conservative. We can't add programs. We can't give public education employees a fair raise to even keep up with inflation. And so we're always looking at that funding at the state level does not seem equitable, especially in our district because of the townships and the farmers. We do have difficulty. We don't want to be real harsh with our local levies and bonds on our farmers, so we need to work on a more equitable funding system at the state level so we can continue to fund public education and support program development. So I guess those things were kind of on my mind when I was approached about running for the House, and so I decided to step up.
You bring up an interesting issue, and that is we have had leadership now that does that exactly. They cut programs that are not needed. They don't say, is the program needed, and say, okay, it is. Well, we can't cut that. They say, what can we cut that the least amount of people will be angry at us for doing so? And it's
right.
Really,
and I think, you know, and that also in the spring, a lot of discussion came up about targeting people on MA and how we can somehow get them off of MA because, you know, they're disabled and they're trying to be healthy and make a transition, and targeting those people that are the most vulnerable. And it's done because I think those people are vulnerable. They're not standing up for themselves, and they try to create this fear or this sort of them and us feeling among voters or citizens of the district to promote their own budget needs or promote their own elections. And I agree with you. I think there is a targeting of people to try to create this fear and divisiveness and then cut programs just based on that.
Well, and it's not as if that money is going to other programs that are in need. It's generally given away as usually a tax break to, you know, generally the largest the corporations or the wealthiest class. I mean, very little of that tax money comes down to the middle and lower class. So not only is it the loss of the programs and the funding, but then there is not a supplemental budgets that are coming in or additional income that's coming in for most people. Henceforth, it's a double whammy.
Right. If you look at those tax cuts that were approved in 2017 by the Republican legislature, there was millions given to the wealthiest Minnesotans and tobacco companies. So there's two examples right there where people, that wealth was redistributed to them rather than the budget, which would maintain our quality of life in Minnesota. And if you even look at what was proposed by the governor, you know, for the tax conformity proposal, again, it would allow for cuts for middle-class Minnesotans, but it's not going to take those wealthiest, 1,000 wealthiest Minnesotans off the hook for their contribution to our quality of life. And I think most Minnesotans, when they think about it, they see the benefit to how we do things in Minnesota as far as quality of life. We support our unions. We support people in crisis. We want to help the disabled. We've developed systems around those. And I do think most Minnesotans and people in my district, they appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But when you start talking about them and they're taking this from us and they're making things worse for us, then it does become just a real divisive issue for people.
You brought up something earlier, and I wanted you to elaborate a little bit more on this, because, I mean, as you talked about funding cuts in other areas, it sounds like in your district, law enforcement has not been funded correctly. Your district, as you did say, you know, it is laid out quite a bit. There's a lot of open territory, and if you've ever lived in rural America, you know that sometimes you have to, you know, depend on a neighboring county or a neighboring town to get law enforcement on weekends, stuff like that. Has there been a need for law enforcement? Have there been cuts at that level in your district?
No, I don't think there's been cuts in our district. And I really want to say that our law enforcement is amazing. But there are things, I believe, that could be done at the state system to support law enforcement. I mean, there was some money given for training, but I think there can be more money given for training. There's also some, the way criminal cases are processed, we have a lot of lag time in criminal cases and the prosecution of them because of the BCA's backlog, and that's not fair to anyone. It's not fair to law enforcement. It's not fair to the people being charged with the offenses. So I think there statewide there are things that we can do to support our local law enforcement to increase task force funding. We have a great task force in our county that is shown to do amazing work, and they can use, of course, they could use more training and assistance. And so, you know, statewide, I think there are things we can do to support our law enforcement, but they do an excellent job.
Obviously, you're a district that's been Republican. It's a district, though, that if these numbers are playing true, and they seem to be playing true, you know, a 20-point swing, well, that puts 24B definitely in play for the DFL. And the nice thing about your district is you're just a hop, skip, and jump down 35 here. If people wanted to come down and help you and volunteer in your district, I imagine that'd be a pretty easy thing for them to do, correct?
Yes, it's really only 50 minutes from downtown Minneapolis to Faribault. don't drive during, you know, obviously the traffic jams. But yeah, if you wanted to come down on a Saturday and door knock, we door knock every Saturday starting at 1. I have a website, obviously. It's yvettemarthaler.org. And I also have Facebook, Yvette Marthaler for State Representative, where we post calendars of events, or if you want to message me on that, you can message me on that, or you can message me on the website. But we're always looking for volunteers to door knock. We've really put a lot of time in door knocking. I can say I've door knocked in every township, and it's been a great experience, and we're going to continue to do that. So, yes, I would certainly welcome any volunteers that want to come down to our district. I think it seems far away, but it's pretty close, and it's a pretty beautiful place. Of course, I'm biased, but I think it's a great place to door knock.
It is a great place to door knock, and I'm glad you brought up the door knocking, because once again, everyone listen, here's yet another DFLer that's figured it out. You knock on the doors, people understand, there are other choices in this election, and it's so important, I think, that as you're doing down there, the door knocking in a lot of districts, that's not something the DFL's been doing, and this year, I have talked across the state, and the DFL is out in numbers door knocking,
yes.
So that's a great deal.
And I've had a lot of support. I would also add, I'd want to say from the DFL, I have a great she's not a volunteer, she's a field organizer, Hannah, who helps me out a couple days a week. So the DFL has been great supplying that because, yes, we are out. I'm out a lot, and the people that have volunteered for my campaign, I've had, I'm a member of Teamsters 320, and I was endorsed by the Teamsters, and some Teamster volunteers have door knocked for me. And it is good because it's great for me. I have learned a lot. I'm listening to people. I'm learning about agriculture, for one thing, farming, listening to what people are saying about our district and what their needs are. So, I mean, it has a great, you're right, benefit for the campaign, but it's also a great thing for me to be able to talk to people.
Yvette Marthaler is, once again, yvettemarthaler.org. I'll link to everything on social media a little bit later on. If you're in a safe Democratic district, and that's great, help your local DFLer, but if you got time, head on down to 24B. Donations, door knockers, volunteers are needed. If you can help out Yvette, it'd be fantastic.
Yes.
Indeed.
Always. Always looking for donations. We do have mailers. We've got some mailers funded going out, but we're going to continue to promote the campaign district-wide, so that would be greatly appreciated as well.
And a fantastic hashtag, Yvette, you bet. I love that. That's fantastic.
Yes, one of my fellow, my friends, John, came up with that, so it's been pretty fun.
Yvette, you bet. Hashtag Yvette, you bet. Once again, District 24B, Democrat of the Day, Yvette Marthaler. Once again, all my best down in 24B, and if you can volunteer and donate for her, please head on down. We'll post to your website a little bit later on. Thanks, Yvette.
Well, thank you so much for the time. Greatly appreciated.